I always had to have a can of Skol on me at all times. Can of Skol.
Oh, that, yeah.
We're playing the Washington team 1 year, and I realized the day of the game, I have no more Skol in my bag. We're on the road. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't go to the team breakfast because he's gonna yell at me and make a scene.
Hey, Bucks fans, what an exciting night it is at JoeBucksFan.com World Headquarters. Levante David, the Bucks made it official, maybe 6:30, 7 o'clock Friday night, that he will be coming back for season number 14. And the contract is big. $9 million guaranteed. He can make up to $10 million. That's more than Bobby Wagner got today also to go back to the Commanders. So good for Levante. Good for the Bucks for stepping up and not pulling a Derrick Brooks of years ago and the way they handled other aging veterans that were on the fence. The Bucks are paying David. They've got faith, and it's exciting. The Bucks need him, and maybe now they're not thin at inside linebacker, but they can still make some more moves there for sure. Now, before we recorded this podcast, we did not know of the David signing. So that's not addressed here by Ira. We'll get to that in the next podcast. We didn't really focus on Levante David, and so you'll be enjoying the podcast here. But at the end, tacked on to the podcast here is our full interview with Chris Sims from the NFL Scouting Combine. Former Bucks quarterback. We get into some fun stuff, get into some history with him, and it's really a can't-miss interview. Proud to be able to bring it here. Now, when you listen to that interview, you're going to hear references to 95.3 WDAE and AM 620. I recorded it for use on our Joe Bucks Fan Show on WDAE, which airs on weekends. And you can find that at joebucksfan.com or at 620wdae.com. Stream it on the iHeartRadio app. Different form of what we do here on the podcast. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. So let's get right to the sage. And at the back end, we're going to hear from Chris Sims. Buccaneers fans, on the eve of free agency, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here. He's Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. Sage?
You know, Pat Yasinskas calls me the Coney Island Kid, Steve, so I might throw that out there.
We'll have the interns review that name. We're not sure we can stick with that. But look, Ira, all this fun that we have tonight comes courtesy of Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships. Don't worry, drive Curry. They want your car right now. They're paying up to 120% over Kelley Blue Book value. Get after it. They've got the best service department, the biggest. They will come to your property and service a mobile service, no extra charge. They'll get you a loaner vehicle. They're open on Sundays now for express services. Get to BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name. And the Kaufman name goes a long way at Bill Curry Ford.
And, of course, Sean Sullivan keeps a tidy shop over there, Steve. Yeah. Always looking to improve. Always looking for little initiatives to improve.
Tidy shop? Does that mean he sweeps up? And what
I don't
does that
know
mean?
If he sweeps up, but not only did you guys make his day, you made his freaking year. I'll tell you that. Because he went to the combine and he had a ball. And he gleaned a lot of information that he's going to use on our podcast.
Frankly, he was kind of working his ass off out there. So I don't know about a ball, but he was working. He's our draft guru, but he's also the GM at Bill Curry Ford. And if you ask him for the Ira Kaufman discount, that is what you will receive on top of their great pricing, BillCurryFord.com. Thanks also goes to Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll talk more about them, Ira, but everybody's got to get to Florida's EliteRestoration.com.
Didn't you mention the other day that Bill Curry Ford had some kind of spectacular initiative on the horizon?
Rolls out next week.
Giving us any clues about this, Stevie?
Rolls out next week, Ira. So
we'll be talking about it.
We'll be talking about it. Absolutely, we'll be talking about it.
Their parts robot is rolled out already.
Yeah, I don't think I want to know any more than that.
No, no, to help you get your car fixed quicker.
Oh, my
The
God.
Robot brings the parts to the mechanic.
God. The robot want to write my columns too, DeCamper?
I don't know if it's programmed to do that, but it was on their Instagram account. Wow. I thought it was pretty cool. It delivers the parts to the technicians, so they aren't running around wasting time.
Are you implying that AI could replace you, Ira?
I don't know, but according to Lee, when you know, if you want your car repaired in your driveway and then the car pulls up and two robots come out and start monkeying around and give you an oil change. I don't want to see it.
We're not that far away, I don't think.
You're right.
All right, Sage. Florida's Elite Restoration, they're where you turn when you have a disaster at your property. Storm damage, flood, fire, mold, water damage. You got to call them first. Get to floridaselite restoration.com to get a better understanding of why, and we'll tell you more about that
and the
later.
Sage discount. And the Sage,
and the Sage
discount.
You love saying that. You
I
like
do.
That.
I absolutely
love
it.
I think we should go to Circle K and say, look, 5 cents off every Reese's cup if you mention Ira Kaufman.
If I ever do find a coconut donut, and I know you're looking for me, you're scouring the internet, I'll pay full fare for a coconut donut. I don't need a discount. I'm ready to buy it.
Somebody help Ira out and find a bakery so he can get a coconut donut.
Get an original donut and just throw some coconut on it.
Yeah. What's a bag of coconut cost to public?
You're right. I don't know. 49 cents.
There Sage, you go. Monday at noon, the siren of free agency goes off. All these free agents can start talking to other teams. Their agents can start negotiating deals. By 4:15 Monday, we're going to have Schefter tweeting out the first deals. Usually it's even before that.
Even the signings can come before Wednesday?
The announcement of that.
They've reached an agreement.
But a lot of times, you know what? Monday, the deals are announced that this is going to happen. Tuesday, the new player's already interviewing with his team to the media. He's already in town. And Wednesday, they make it official. So that's how it goes. And the Bucks.
And everybody that gets cut in the last 2 weeks, Buck fans are going crazy. Like, oh, he'd look great in a Buck uniform. He'd look fantastic. Doesn't matter if the guy's 25 or 38. We want him. We want him.
Well, Gerald McCoy is leading the pack.
Yeah, like, get on it, Jason. Get on that. That's like the last line. Get on it, Jason.
Well, you know what? I wrote this this morning on JoeBucksFan.com that when McCoy tweets Jason Light, pretty sure that gets the attention of people at One Buck. Me or Steve or you, but it's Gerald McCoy.
I think Light has a very good handle about where this franchise is. And I think that's a big plus for the Bucks.
I think he has a good handle, too. But
he's not desperate. Jason Light is not desperate. He wants improvements, but he's not going to give away the store. He's not going to do it.
Well, should he be desperate? That's really the nuance here, right? So Todd Bowles, he's got a good handle on the Bucks too. Is he a great coach who can take him to the promised land? I don't know. Jason Light's got a good handle, but maybe he should be desperate. Maybe he should be pacing this house like Lee does all night for an edge rusher. And there are even more on the market now.
Lee, you don't give up a one and a two next year for Joey Bosa. You just don't do
I
that.
Wouldn't. I wouldn't, but Trey Hendrickson?
It's a whole other animal.
Yeah.
I got no knocks on Trey Hendrickson.
This the way,
I thought he was good with the Saints. He was damn good with the Saints.
This is the way I look at it. And you know, you guys know I like Jason. So, you know, I hate to say anything negative because it's immediately twisted. You hate Jason. No, I don't. But it's like, do you want to win a Super Bowl or not? And I know he's concerned about the future, and that's awesome. But ask Dan Marino what the future was like when he didn't go back to a Super Bowl. So, you know, strike while the iron is hot. In my mind, maybe I'm overvaluing this roster. I really believe this team is 1 to 2 defensive players away from making a real run in the Super Bowl. And one of those positions is, I know this is going to shock people, edge rush.
I don't think the salary cap ramifications of a Trey Hendrickson is going to stop a deal with the Bucks. If Bowles and Light and the Glazers are fully on board about Trey Hendrickson, they can maneuver with that salary cap. We see it every year.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, let's clarify it a little bit. Trey Hendrickson wanted to be traded. And last year, he had talked about that, too. And on Thursday, the Bengals formally allowed him to pursue a trade.
Why does he want to be traded, Steve?
Because they don't want to
Bengals are a good team.
They don't want to pay him.
They don't want to pay him.
This is last year of his contract coming up. He's only due about $16 million this year, which is ridiculous, considering he's had 17.5 sacks each of the last two seasons. That's insane. Now,
and without a lot of help on that Bengals defensive line. He's not surrounded by all pros.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Hubbard was okay, but he retired. So yeah.
We've heard this all three of us have heard in the past. Oh, these edge rushers just aren't out there on the street. You can't just get one of these guys. They don't fall free or available because their teams don't do that. Well, this year, yeah, they do.
Well, Max Crosby, they didn't. They booked him up.
But
okay.
We hear Harold Landry's available from Tennessee.
That's Lee's guy, Harold Landry.
Trey Hendrickson is available.
Garrett wants to be traded.
The Browns say Myles Garrett isn't available, but we know that he really is. They just have to negotiate that way now. So you've got edge rushers available.
It's an unusual year, Lee. Usually these guys don't pop free.
No.
They don't. What's it going to cost to get Trey Hendrickson? What's it going to cost, Lee?
If it's not a first-round pick, it's going to be multiple picks and probably a player to be thrown in there. So, hey, you want Joe Tryon? He's available. I know he's technically not.
Ira, I think
they could ask for you know, Winfield. I mean, they could ask. To me, that's a no. That's not going to happen.
I doubt that.
They could ask for Tyke Smith.
That sounds stupid saying that.
I don't think Tyke Smith would be a deal breaker from a Buck perspective.
But I know Bowles loves
him. I know they like him, Steve.
Bowles loves him.
But Hendrickson's Hendrickson.
Hendrickson's Hendrickson.
Yeah. Sage, I think he could be had for a 2 and a 3, a second and third round pick. I do.
And you want to sign him to a multi-year deal right off the bat?
Well, he's not going to want to be traded here unless that's in the cards, either a raise or at least paying him for 2026 at, you know, edge rusher money, which Max Crosby just threw into the stratosphere at $30-something million. But it comes down to how serious are they?
Guy, Lee, the right guy, can make a hell of a difference.
Oh, a good edge rusher? I mean, I can't imagine what this defense would be like.
It could also unleash Kancy and Vea to an extent.
You're kind of taking them. I don't want to see you stealing my thunder. You're taking words out of my mouth.
I'm taking money out of your pocket.
No, Lee. No, you're not. I've said that before. How much better would Kancy and Vea be if you had a monster on one side? And, oh, by the way, I think it would help out Yaya. So, NFC Championship game against the Packers. Vea had a bum ankle for most of the year. Came back in time for that game. The Packers had no answer. They had to contend with Vea. Had to contend with Sue. JPP. Shaq. They didn't have enough bodies. And Shaq went bananas. And that's the same thing that can happen here. You put Hendricks on the line with Kancy, with Vea. Yaya, I still have hope for the guy. I'm not killing him. But I just think it would make not just the line so much better, but the secondary.
Any concerns about maybe if you get a Hendrickson, you're fortunate enough to make the deal, consummate it. And by the way, Lee, there's going to be a lot of suitors, including your Falcons. You know that.
Falcons.
Steve, any concerns that, well, maybe he likes to come off the right side, you got to move Diaby to the left side. Any concerns about Diaby making an adjustment?
No, Diaby plays his share of left side, but I understand what you're saying. Look, they just told us at the combine that Diaby, you know, kind of should have been a 15-sack guy.
That's an outrageous
and
statement.
Jason Light also told us Chris Braswell is going to shock people in a good way. And, you know, it's getting crazy.
It's crazy, but the Glazers believe what Lee believes. That's the important thing.
They
believe that this team better get an edge rusher.
Well, then there may have an issue here because Jason Light, look, I guarantee you Jason Light looks at Chop Robinson, okay, last year, a guy some people thought might come to the Bucks, looks at him and says, you know what? This guy got 6 sacks as a rookie, all in his last 10 games. He didn't even play half the snaps. He looks like a legit edge rusher. We can get a guy like that. I don't have to waste resources.
Lee, aren't you interested in a guy that other teams have to plan for that scared the hell out of somebody? Chop Robinson's not that guy.
Not yet.
He's not. Well, Chris Braswell's not that guy.
Not yet.
By the way,
he's going to shock you, Ira.
Did Bowles hesitate to say, we got to bump up our edge rush? He didn't hesitate.
No, he actually admitted that.
He said it. He says, we got to rush with 4.
Ira.
We got to be effective.
Ira, is this going to happen or not? You've got edge rushers available.
Joey, it could happen, but there's a lot of suitors.
Joey
Steve.
Bosa got cut.
Okay, so Joey Bosa.
McCoy wants him.
Gerald McCoy wants him.
Oh, maybe they got the same ages.
You know what?
There you go.
If he plays half the games and plays really well, I guess you could sort of argue that that's valuable.
I don't want a guy going into a season thinking he's going to play half the games. That's a losing. Losing outlook.
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting here hammering Jamel Dean for that very reason, and Jamel Dean or Bosa makes Jamel Dean look like Derek Brooks for longevity.
Steve, I'm not saying it can't happen, but I can't stress this point enough, Lee, and you know I'm right. There's 20 teams out there that want Trey Hendrickson. You know that. I mean, what, the Bucks are not the only team looking
for a
rush.
Ira.
Look
Ira.
At the Falcons.
I'm going to disagree. I'm disagreeing. You know why? Because in my series, Winning with Jason Light.
Which series? The 12-part series?
We're 5 parts through.
The tome.
At least 11.
This thing is like Roots. It's got 30 episodes.
So... Look,
and Jason Light still has an ankle.
John Spytek told us, we were all there for when we sat down last year, he told us in detail, they were the only team that was chasing Jason Pierre-Paul. Nobody else made the call. So don't tell me every 20 teams want him. JPP was coming off a decent season, was a freakish athlete, and had proven that he could still sack somebody with three fingers. You know, I don't know. Robert Quinn had for the third round pick. He didn't have a ton of suitors. He had
JPP
some.
JPP wasn't coming off back-to-back 17 and a half sacks.
No.
When the Bucs got him.
Does it have to be Hendrickson? He's not the only guy that may be available. Would I love to have Hendrickson? No, heck yeah. But again, Harold Landry is out there, for example. This guy from the Giants, who I'm intrigued with, he can't stay on the field, but
Thibodeau?
No. Aziz something or other. I can't pronounce the last
name. Ojulari?
Is that what it is? Okay. I thought you said Baba Booey or something. You know, bring this guy in as a reserve, only because he can't stay on the field. But when he's on the field, pretty good. He averages a sack every two games. I wouldn't bank on him as a starter, but maybe you get him at a reasonable price because he's always hurt. Who knows? Maybe he turns into the next Shaq Barrett. At least he's got a reputation, a history of getting sacks. But, you know, all these guys the Bucs bring in and banking on hope, banking on hope, banking on
hope.
Lee's
on course by saying you could get him for a 2 and a 3?
I said that. Yeah, I think it's possible.
I was saying it'd probably be a first.
He's got 1 year left on his contract, and it doesn't mean someone won't throw a first-round pick at them.
A team that has a better pick than the Bucs.
A team with a better pick. But it wouldn't be out of the question. I mean, look at some of the deals across the league. What happened to your Chiefs? They traded an all-pro guard for a fifth-rounder?
Not even this year.
Fourth-round, wouldn't it?
I think it's a 2026 draft.
Yeah, we've seen quarterbacks traded for, Alex Smith was traded when his heyday to the Chiefs for, two second-round picks? I don't think it's out of the question.
Maybe you're right, guys.
But
maybe
even
you're
if
right.
But here's the thing: you can't spin out of Trey Hendrickson, right? The guy's from Florida. He went to college in Florida.
He's not old.
And back-to-back 17 and a half sack seasons. You can't tell me he's not effective. 36 quarterback hits last year. They're going crazy at $1.
How many?
36. Because Yaya had 20. They're
that's
going
one
bananas.
Hell of a number. He's a disruptor.
He's who.
That's one way of saying it.
Even if he takes a step back, okay, so he has 24 quarterback hits and 12 and a half sacks. Hey, we're having a party. I just don't see how they can't be in
Can
that.
Can you imagine
either.
The discussion between Bowles and Light right now about his availability? Jason, we got to go get this guy. He can be the difference maker.
If they really, a word you used in the past, yearned for an edge rusher, they would have gotten one by now. I know they've tried to draft some. Some have sort of worked out. Some haven't worked out. But gosh darn.
This guy's proven.
Yeah. What I'm saying is I'm one of these people. I firmly believe an edge rusher is the most important position on the field for defense. If a team doesn't have a quarterback, they don't sit around and twiddle their thumbs and hope the Kyle Trask of the world become.
Some do.
Peyton and Manning. Yeah, and those are garbage teams.
Yeah.
Jason Light, Lovie Smith did in 2014. They did.
Hendrickson makes a lot of sense, Steve. Is he as good as Myles Garrett? Maybe a notch below.
Yeah, maybe.
A notch below.
To me, a nine-sack guy would work for the Bucs because they don't have it right now.
Don't know about the linebacker situation,
no.
Steve.
Now,
there's holes to fill.
But, Ira, look, you mentioned Jamel Dean. We can go around the horn here. You've never heard me trash Jamel Dean. It's always you guys, which is fine. I'm more than happy to have the guy at a cheaper price. His $10.5 million, whatever he's due, is ridiculous. But if he's willing to play for $5 million, bring him on. I don't care if he misses a few games. Get more depth. He's a good player, and I still think he could get better, and that's where I stand with him. But he's got to be worth it. He's not worth the money now, any way, shape, or form.
I don't know what his forte is, Lee. He's not a great tackler. He doesn't have ball skills. He gets hurt. I'm not saying he's trash, Lee,
no.
But I don't think he's good enough to be a starter for a championship team. I just
Even
don't.
Though he was?
That's when they had a hell of a pass
And they also
rush.
Weren't playing soft defense back then. He's not a soft defense
You know,
guy.
That's a great point, Steve Lee. If they pull Hendrickson out of their behinds, and everybody at this table hopes they do, I think it's going to dramatically change the way Bowles approaches his whole defensive scheme.
That's a good point.
I hope it does.
That's a good
and
point.
I hope it does. And Jamel Dean would benefit from that.
I'm not really trashing Dean. My problem is he can't stay on the field. But you know what? When he's on the field, the Bucs win. The Bucs win. I mean, when they went through that losing streak last year, he wasn't on the field. He comes back on the field, they go on a streak. He may not be Deion Sanders, be doing something.
I'm not
right.
sure Murphy Bunting wasn't as good as him some years ago, Lee.
For a minute there, it looked like he was going to be that guy. Now, to Murphy Bunting's credit, and I put this out on Twitter the other day, Alan Lazard with the Jets, former Packers receiver, the Jets gave him permission to seek a trade. That would be like 3 years ago, the Bucs giving Jalen Darden permission to seek a trade. But the reason why I bring up Alan Lazard in connection with Sean Murphy bunting. Arguably the most important interception in Bucs history was when Sean Murphy bunting late in the first half, guarding Alan Lazard, picked off Aaron Rodgers. A couple plays later, braided to jumping.
Now, wait a minute, Lee. Don't forget about Rondé in Philadelphia.
Yes, but this was like, this turned the game. That Scotty Miller touchdown doesn't happen if Murphy Bunting doesn't get the pick. I didn't say it was the most. It was one of the most.
I hear you.
And so Alan Lazard will always have a soft spot in my heart. And at that time, as you were saying, Ira, at that point, Murphy Bunting is probably as good as Dean, maybe. Right up there. He was right up there. And for whatever reason, he fell apart.
Steve, is Carlton Davis still on the Lions, or is he kicked loose?
He's going to be a free agent. He's going to hit the market because they don't have a lot of money, and that's the deal. There's some speculation that Aaron Glenn may bring him over to the Jets, who just coached him.
So he gave up. They gave up a third-round pick to have him for 1 year?
Yeah.
Davis?
Yeah. Now, Dean, I misspoke before. He's due $12.5 million this year. I'm hoping that they can work it out with him. It's just me personally. I think he's a $5, $6 million player. I think that's just where he should fit. Who's going to, if they cut him, who's going to give Jamel Dean $10 million? It's not going to happen.
Maybe Tom Brady.
Well, you know what? I asked Light on your podcast, I think it was. I asked Light, is he scared of Spy Tech or Cone?
Poaching?
Yeah, cherry picking his roster. He said, well, that's the NFL. He kind of poo-pooed it. Nah, it's the NFL.
I mean, Bredesen may end up out there. You know, they have money to spend. You know, obviously, Spytek, who's spoken glowingly on other shows about the building of the Bucs offensive line, he knows Bredesen, saw him firsthand. Spytek's a Michigan guy. I could see it. All right, Sam, the right move is Florida's Elite Restoration. When you have a home, you have to protect your property, right? What's your home worth? 200, 300,
pipe
400.
Pipe can burst at any time, right?
500,000. It's your biggest asset. Pipe can go anytime. And what do? You don't call your insurance company and say, oh, I got everything wet and I need help.
The time you're not home when the pipe bursts. Now you're really in trouble.
That's a bad way to, or a good way to have a problem and not get your claim covered because you've said the wrong thing or you didn't handle it right. These things have to be mitigated immediately. There's a way to do it, and that's getting a company like Florida's Elite Restoration to come out and give you a free evaluation of what's going on. And then if you need their services after they advise you, you can roll with them and they'll reach out to your insurance company for you. Make sure you don't get ripped off. Florida's Elite Restoration, Sage, they have the Joe Bucks Fan Ira Kaufman discount. When you call them 24/7, when you have that disaster, just simply mention where you heard about them. And if you need their services, then you'll get $500 back, and that's cash or that's toward your deductible, whatever you need.
Florida. Steve, all you ask for, Steve, as a consumer, is a fair shake. That's what you want. And Josh and his people, and it's a great crew from Florida's Elite Restoration, that's what they're going to give you, a fair shake.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com. You also, in addition to a fair shake, Ira, you also like a good meal. And I think it's time for us to have one with Josh this year, 2025.
I think that'd be outstanding. Maybe I'd top it off with a coconut donut, Steve.
So, Ira, at the end of this podcast, as people saw in the headline, we've got a wild interview with Chris Sims. And we'll talk about that on the next podcast.
Oh, I can't
wait
to hear that, Steve.
It's wild. It went off the rails a little bit, and that's the kind that we like. So if foul language upsets you, then you may not want to listen to this.
He's not a fan of the defense that Todd Bowles played last year.
No,
at all.
And he talks about that. He talks about some reasons why the Bucs may not be respected nationally. And he also tells some great stories. And fans are going to enjoy that very much later in this podcast. So, look, Ira, this is our pre-free agency
podcast. That's right.
You know, Lee's got to put his name on this. So do I. So do you.
And, Steve, like you're saying, we're not going to have to wait till next Wednesday to have these deals evolve and be confirmed.
And we need answers on a lot of things. So, Ira, what are the three or four big things that are going to happen in Bucs free agency as you see it?
I think Lavonte David's a big domino. Lee, I think you're with me. They want him back. Yeah. There aren't any questions from a Buc perspective. And why would there be from Todd Bowles? He calls him like the ultimate Buccaneer, you know. Even if Servasi Dennis Lee, and I know I can get you going, even if he plays 13 games next year and he's pretty good, they're thin. Boy, are they thin.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
They might be thin with Lavonte David. They're certainly thin without him.
Yep.
So that's something to look at you know, I look at a Nick Bolton from Kansas City.
Ooh,
the guy's a good player.
Yes, he is.
The guy's a good player.
I really
Steve.
Like him.
Maybe they'd be interested in him whether Lavonte comes back or not.
I really like Nick Bolton.
Yeah, and cornerback. That's what I'm looking at. Edge rush, You know what? A lot of people think they got to have a receiver. Well, it would be nicely, especially if they don't sign Godwin.
What Lavonte David is to the defense, Godwin is to the offense. They got a problem if Godwin didn't come back. I know this is free agency. I'll just say this real quick. You know, I hate to get going about the draft because, my gosh, it's so far ahead. And I get burned out talking about the draft. Even though I love the draft, I get burned out. Three players I'm looking for in the draft. This Jihad Campbell at Alabama. I love the name, Jihad.
He's supposed to be the top linebacker available.
He's very good. Him or this Egbuka, Ohio State receiver, who is an absolute Chris Godwin clone. You look at him and
physical,
you take...
Physical.
Just like Godwin. Put him in a Penn State uniform, you think it's Godwin.
And he's 6-7 years younger. There you go.
So him and Mike Green, 17 sacks at Marshall.
Yes.
It's production.
Questionable competition at Marshall. Questionable.
Now, in a Senior Bowl, and I get it, it's an all-star game, but he went up against Oregon's left tackle, supposed to be so good, blew him away.
And that guy's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Left tackle. Sage, unacceptable, your response to my free agency question.
Of course, Steve.
Unacceptable.
Of course.
Do I have to walk you through this? What's going to happen? Lavonte David coming back?
I think David's going to do that, Steve.
So, the Bucs going to sign an edge rusher that has had a couple of good years under his belt next week. A Khalil Mack, a Bosa, the Hendrickson trade. Are they going to get a name edge rusher?
You count Landry in that mix?
Sure.
Well, I might be tempted to go on Lee's side with Landry. You don't have to break open the bank for him. He's ascending, I think.
The last 3 years,
I don't think they're going to end up with a Garrett or a Hendrickson. I just don't. I don't think Light wants to give up that kind of draft capital. Now, if the second and a third, Steve, which I think you're being a little generous from a Buck perspective, isn't he worth the first-round pick? And I don't mind giving up the 19th pick, Lee. I don't mind that. I don't want to give up two of them, but I don't think Hendrickson commands what Myles Garrett does.
Wow.
So you're asking me, are they going to get Hendrickson, a big-name edge rusher?
A name edge rusher.
I don't think so.
I'm kind of with Ira. I'll believe it when I see it. Now, real quick, Ira, when I mentioned, the reason why I mentioned those three players about I'm looking at in the draft, if Lavonte David retires, you almost have to go with this Jihad Campbell.
Now, will he be there at 19? It's a question.
You know, there was a trade up. I know that means Jason Light's got to give up a valuable fifth round pick or something to get up there, but go get him.
You bring up a strong point, Steve, because can you count on a guy being there at 19 as an edge rusher that you really like? How many edge rushers did I really like in this draft? Three? Well, maybe the kid from Texas. They're not getting Abdul Carter. Then I'm moving up to the second pick.
Well, also,
they're not doing that.
Not very often do rookie edge rushers make an impact. Sometimes, but that's not the norm.
You think a couple more edge rush veteran guys could get chopped?
It's possible. And the reason why I'm so hung up on go trade for an edge rusher, again, I just explained about rookies. If I didn't think the Bucs were one or two players away from making a Super Bowl run, I'd be okay. I'm like, all right, maybe Yaya will develop. But I think strike while the iron is hot. The iron's hot right now. I think their window this year, maybe next year, and that's it.
Now, Mayfield's not old, Lee. He's not old.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm just saying I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender 2 or 3 years from now. That doesn't mean they won't be a good team. I don't think that window will be open because Mike Evans won't be here. Godwin won't be here. Lavonte David won't be here. That's three massive hits you take. So I don't know that they're a Super Bowl contender without those three. They're still here. So the way I look at it is you got a real chance to possibly get to a Super Bowl that you may not have for who knows how long.
And they have very specific needs, right, Lee? They don't need help everywhere. If they lose Ben Bredesen, I'm not losing any sleep.
Well, there's a lot of fans out there that I think will get drunk. I don't know why they hate him.
Sleep. They'll have a competition between Elijah Klein and Opetta, you know, and let the best man win. They'll draft somebody in the fourth round.
Nah, I'm just talking about eyeballs. I'm not talking about measurements that someone just wrote down. Oh, he weighs this much and he's this tall. Just eyeball test. Klein looks little. I mean, you compare him to the rest of the Bucks offensive line, he doesn't look like an offensive lineman.
Well, now, Mayfield doesn't look like a quarterback either.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean he can't bulk up. That doesn't mean he's going to be a bad guy. I'm just talking eyeball test. He doesn't look like it.
A lot of teams are in a lot worse shape than the Bucks, Steve. The teams that need a quarterback, they don't know what the hell to do. They're going to overdraft a quarterback.
Always.
They're going to take the Sanders kid at 4 when he should be at 18. That's what happens, Lee. Who's this guy, Dak or Dot?
Dak Prescott?
No, the prospect.
I'm not letting you off the hook on free agency.
Quarterback. Quarterback.
A Dak? There's a Tyler Slough.
Dart.
Quarterback. Oh, Jackson Dart.
He's coming on strong.
You know what? And Sean Sullivan gets mad at me whenever I bring this up. I can't get the image of how he puked all over himself against Florida. He was horrible.
Horrible.
And a hot shot quarterback doesn't choke like that. I mean, oh, my God.
Steve, you will not be a happy camper if by the end of next week they don't have a dynamic edge rusher.
Well, no, I'll be fine as long as they're in the mix. Like, you can't win every trade. You can't create capital that you don't have.
Don't give me this Walt Jocketty crap. When Walt Jocketty was general manager of the Cardinals, baseball Cardinals, he'd always, a big-name free agent, he would be involved, quote-unquote. And when some other team got him, he'd stand up at a podium, pull the pockets inside out on his slacks, say, well, we had the second best bid. You didn't get him. He would do that every year. Well, we had the second best bid. Second doesn't count. Don't give me this. Like,
Steve,
oh,
am I too hung
mix.
Up on the Falcons? I keep mentioning the Falcons.
No, but I mean.
To me, desperate is Arthur Blank.
In the NFL, though, you can't manufacture a capital. I mean, if the team wants, your trade partner wants a first and a second round pick this year, and the other team that you're competing with has a better first and second
Atlanta's
round pick.
Atlanta's got a better pick. There's
nothing you can do.
If you're the Bengals, aren't you going to take the best offer?
You can offer them a 2020.
Well, I mean, my gosh, yeah.
You can offer them a 2026 pick, but that doesn't mean they want it. You can offer them a player. They may be like,
You think the Bucks pass rush lacks consistency? Have you seen the Falcons? Have you seen the Falcons?
It's not there.
They feel they got their quarterback of the future.
Ira, is Chris Godwin on the roster this year? Is he on the Bucks roster?
These hard eating questions.
Well, Ira won't answer that. Agency. We need answers.
I think Chris Godwin hits free agency next week. Doesn't mean the Bucks lose him, but I think he hits free agency.
I can see that.
Now, you know what, Ira? I could see the Bucks and Jason Light. Yeah, I'm just talking about the Bucks hierarchy there. You know who was picked at 19 last year? Jared Verse. You probably voted for him as defensive rookie of the year.
I did.
Edge rusher came on strong in the playoffs, was a monster in the playoffs.
The Rams are great at drafting right now. You know? They're great.
I don't think they're scared of putting another rookie in there. If they like him, it's that we're not going to like it.
Lee, they don't know Mike Green's going to last till 19. They don't know that.
You can say that about half the guys in there you don't know. Yeah.
All right, Sage, look, you have a final.
You're asking me some tough questions here, Stevie.
Yep. Cornering him.
They're the only questions. Come on. Before we head to Chris Sims, Ira, you have a final thought for Bucks fans?
Well, final thought. I'm a little chilly right now, Steve. I wanted to sit inside. You boys talked me into outside. I couldn't get my hot tea. I mean, what the hell's going on around here? If you're within the sound of my voice, Lee, and you know somewhere where I can get a coconut donut.
And hot tea?
Put it out on email.
Well, he's really hung up about the donut tonight. What about the hot tea?
Steve, when we meet next week, which we will several times, maybe even three times next week, we might do a bonus podcast.
Oh, okay.
You
I
never
see.
Know.
Maybe at $1 welcoming Khalil Mack. Who
Wouldn't
knows?
Wouldn't that be something? We're going to have a lot to talk about next week.
You
and
think
we
so?
Won't have to speculate as much, Lee.
Be
maybe
nice.
Godwin's in the fold. Be nice.
Yeah.
And maybe Hendrickson's on the horizon. Wouldn't you love it, Lee? Trey Hendrickson.
I don't know how I would react.
Not Joe Henderson. Trey Hendrickson.
I understand. I don't know how I would react. I'm so beaten to death over expecting three sack edge rushers. I don't know how I would react. It'd be like a guy that's only dated fours, and all of a sudden he's got a model in his bed. How are you going to react?
Speaking of dating, in junior high school, I had a crush on Diana Hendrickson, not Trey Hendrickson. Diana Hendrickson.
Not Florence Henderson?
I never made a move, Steve.
Not Florence Henderson.
I was very shy back then. I wasn't the sage. They called me the penguin because I walked funny. I didn't have enough guts to ask her out to the malt shop for a malted.
The great regrets of Ira Kaufman.
Yeah, but I end up with a beautiful wife, and we're going 43, 44 years, Lee. I got no regrets.
Was Florence Henderson safe from your clutches?
Florence? You know what? If she wasn't made to be so wholesome
right.
on that show, she would have been a looker.
And she was not, wasn't she?
She
was
not. Could have been a looker.
Ira, we will cut you off there at your naughty Florence Henderson thoughts.
And Diana Hendrickson.
And Diana Hendrickson.
And by the way, that movie Anora, that's a schnora, not a Nora. How the hell could that win Best Picture? If you're within the sound of my voice, let me hear from you.
All right, we're going to get to Chris Sims. Bill Curry Ford, shop there this weekend. You're going shopping for a vehicle anyway. Get there first. Get to their website, BillCurryFord.com. And be ready at all times. Be ready for a disaster in your home with Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. As promised, Chris Sims, former Buccaneers quarterback here on the Joe Bucks Fan Show, 95.3 WDAE at AM 620. Unbuttoned podcast, NBC sports film guru here at the Scouting Combine with us. Chris, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Steve. You know, thanks for the hype there.
When you were on Bleacher Report and CBS years ago, I was like, man, he has got it. And he has just got it. And
thank you. Thanks a lot.
10 years later.
It's been a great journey. You know, for this business, it's been a pretty fast rise as far as, you know, getting to NBC and doing all that. But, yeah, I've been fortunate. And, you know, I love the game. I think that's the big thing. I got a big mouth that works in this part of the world, right? I'm from Jersey. I'm not afraid to kind of just say what's in my brain and say it out there, even if it's unpopular. So that's been the good things. And Bleacher Report was really the jump off. My podcast there and some of my quarterback evaluations, whether it was Mahomes or Lamar or Josh Allen, I feel like they're my sons to some degree, because they help me in my evaluations to get me to where I am. So I appreciate all the compliments there. I was always talking football. I'm a football junkie. Mm-hmm. Anybody that knows that about me. And then, of course, to go to Texas, experience that with Mac Brown, go to Tampa Bay and be with psycho John Gruden, who taught me a lot, right? And, like, all the offense there. Got to go off of that and go to Denver with Josh McDaniels as well, mm-hmm. where I learned even more. I got to see Jeff Fisher in 2 years in Tennessee run a team and do some things that I thought were extremely impressive, and then got to go to work in New England and, you know, be the guy that had to break down the games, the gopher, the bitch boy, whatever you want to call me. That's what they called me up there at times. Yeah, that's what I did. But those experiences, certainly between that and then watching my dad on TV, I think helped me get to where I am now.
What did Belichick call the guys that were like, he has a bunch of guys that became GMs, Pioli and those guys.
Yeah, Pioli, John Robinson.
But he had a
Robinson.
Nickname for them. You kind of did their job. They did in Cleveland, you did in New England.
Exactly right. Right. I mean, yeah, as he would say, is like you're the wheels of the organization. So mm-hmm. my job was not only to be the offensive quality control coach, but I was also responsible for certain areas of the country in recruiting and making the tapes for the players that were draft eligible and always keeping up with that.
Okay.
New England is unlike any other place. They didn't luck into 20 years of dominating the NFL. It was the most detailed, unbelievably organized organization in the history of professional sports.
Wow.
That's not deniable, right? A lot of coaches don't like to hear me talk about how good New England was because they go, that's a lot, and I can't replicate that. I don't even do that, right? And that's
it might
just
have to work.
Bill Belichick, as I've told a lot of people, is just one of the smartest human beings I've ever been around.
Wow.
And if he worked on Wall Street, he'd be the Wolf of Wall Street. He would be, and that's what he is.
All right, we're going to steer you off football for a second, because before you sat down, you promised us you got the gossip on this throwdown.
Oh, right.
This Ian Rappaport, Jordan Schultz. Screaming match.
Well, what's funny is that it's not that I have the guy. I know Jordan Schultz really well. He worked with me at Bleacher Report back in the
sure.
days. I've known Ian Rappaport forever, just throughout the NFL. So my funny story is not necessarily definitely with that, but we start the show today with Mike Florio. I do Pro Football Talk, 7 a.m., you know, live in the morning on Peacock. And he starts to like, so did you see the biggest story in football? And I was like, you know, for me, I go to football
sure.
when he says that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, did their trade happen? Did somebody trade the first pick of the draft? Like, I'm going, did somebody get cut? Was there something like that? And I'm like, no, I don't know. And he kind of goes on me, you don't know? You don't know? I mean, you don't pay attention to my website? That's my top story on my website. No. And he kind of got snarky with me. And I was like, would you shut that? Then I went to his website. And I was like, well, if it's the top one, why do you got Tom Brady on there right now? Because he was getting stuck with me. I said, shut with your bullshit, right, first off. I was thinking of football. Shut up. And it got a little pissy on our show
this morning.
Nice, so, yeah.
Nice.
Which is like, you know, he's a jerk. So sometimes I got to set him straight.
And you can find that on Sirius. Anybody wants to hear it, you
right.
can catch the beginning
exactly.
of the show.
Exactly. So you'll hear some bleeps every now and then. Yes.
Sweet. All right, Chris, 20 years is coming up, the anniversary of that Redskins-Bucks playoff game.
Yeah.
And one of the best, I'm going to make it a top 10 throw in Buccaneers history, considering the circumstances.
Wow.
Considering the throw right. to Edel Shepherd. He doesn't catch it. Third and 10, playoffs on the line.
Oof.
Your memories of that?
Oh.
Or do you think about it often?
I think about it. It's giving me chills just thinking about it right now, honestly, wow. because we were better than Washington. We were better. You know, I don't even want to say we didn't. It wasn't that we didn't play our best. We got a little unlucky, really. If you unpack the game, there's the Sean Taylor fumble return,
sure
right?
Is.
I watched Cadillac Williams. I'm almost 100% sure his knees were down in that pile of people. And then the ball popped out, and they returned it for a touchdown, right? I threw an interception early on the football game. Ball got tipped to the line of scrimmage. LeVar Arrington picked it up. fumbled. We recovered it, but you couldn't. They called him down by contact, and you couldn't review that at that point. He was not down. It would have been our ball back. But, hey, they got their hands up. They made the tip. But, we had to fight so hard to get back in the game. And like that year, we were clutch all year. I think we had six or seven fourth-quarter comebacks.
A lot of bounces went your way, clutch plays.
Right. I mean, and we had some big drives and leading up there to the playoffs to win football games. So we were kind of like, hey, so what? We're down seven. This is what we've been all year. We weren't flinching. And I threw that ball to him on a play that we had thrown during the regular season against them for a big play. Gruden calls it again, and I was like, oh, man, I like this. And with the way they've been playing, I think we got a chance. And he's going up the field, and boom, I hit it. And I knew as soon as the ball left my hand, I was like, it was perfect. I knew it.
It was.
And, of course, you know, Calvin Johnson rule before Calvin Johnson. Mm. And I wasn't even aware of that rule really at that time. I remember yelling at the ref, like, his knees were down. He caught the ball.
Sure.
And, you know, the surviving the ground thing was not a common
term.
Everybody
didn't know it at that
right.
time.
Right, and even I didn't. What's worse, and let me just say this, just to crap on myself for a moment, the next play, Gruden called a great play. He called it out and up down the right sideline because they're thinking it's 4th and 10. They'll try to call something for 11, 12 yards, get the first down. He calls it out and up, and we got it. I'm going to throw a touchdown again. And I kind of felt pressure coming off the left edge. Our left tackle got beat a little bit, and I could feel it, and I hurried the throw a little bit, and I missed it by about a foot. And that still haunts me because, man – I usually didn't miss throws like that, and I don't give a damn about pressure or not. That's one that I think about from time to time still.
Thanks for taking us into that. That is fascinating. Yeah, We're talking, of course, to Chris Sims. His voice needs no introduction here on 95.3 WDAE and AM 620. Chris, before I throw you over to Lee, who's always got an interesting thing, you never know what he's going to say.
I know true. That.
Todd Bowles, you've been very hard on him, on his defense, not being flexible, five-man fronts when Emmett Smith isn't in the backfield.
Sure.
And can you dive into that a little bit more
for
the fans to understand, what you're seeing?
Well, and I want to make sure I'm clear because I really have a lot of respect for Todd Bowles. When I start to talk about stuff like that, it's because I'm talking about one of the best teams in football, and I'm just talking about something that bothers me.
It's not personal.
The way.
Sure.
Right, it's not. And I hope Todd knows that. I know Todd knows that because Todd's such a cool guy, and he understands my job and all that. But when you get kind of towards the playoffs and playoff-caliber teams, this is what I do. I dissect, right? There was things about the Philadelphia Eagles, even though I was saying they're the best team, I was going, I wish they would just change this and this a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. All of that. But, yeah, there's times where there's certain games, and I know Todd's going to be aggressive, and he wants to dominate the line of scrimmage, and I'm cool with that. I get it. That's where it's to be had. But there are a few games every year where I sit here and go, like you just said, and you heard me say that on my podcast a little bit,
sure.
Go, are they playing the 93 Cowboys and Emmitt Smith, or am I missing something here? Why are we got eight guys in the box with these two receivers out here and this quarterback, and they don't run the ball in what we're doing? So that is definitely something that – I look at him through sometimes to go, if there was one thing with him that bothers me at times, it's that. But it's hard to argue with the results and the way that defense plays. But in a year this year with the secondary issues, right, some injuries, Winfield not being there, Carlton Davis traded to the Lions, I just thought there was a few times it jumped out to me to go, wait, your front four is pretty good. We don't need to always blitz and do all that stuff. And it, to me, led to some maybe more big plays than it should have in the past game.
Bucks defense was fantastic last year.
Yeah.
Offense was fantastic. And I'm kind of torn. In one way, big picture,
right.
I'm thinking the offense could recede this coming year because they were top five in so many categories. You know, the old saying, regression to the mean. However, on the flip side, Bucky Irving was a rookie. You think, okay, he can be, a better running back in his second year. Jalen McMillan could be better in his second year.
Agreed.
Chris Godwin, if he's healthy and they resign him, he was out for three quarters of the year.
Yeah.
I can make an argument both sides. How do you see it?
I hear you. It's an interesting conversation. I mean, I think at a base level, it's a little bit like I got to see it to believe it a little. I mean, Liam Cohn's damn good. Mm. I've had my eye on Liam Cohn for quite a while here,
oh, wow.
Right? You know, I mean, Sean McVay a while ago told me how special Liam Cohn was. So, that's not easy to replace. And then off the heels of Dave Canales. So, and I know the system is going to be somewhat similar to what we saw, but still, as you guys know, there's just because you're in that coaching tree doesn't mean you can emulate it, right?
Yes.
There's a magic in why, the guy that starts the system, he understands nuances, tying plays together, when's the right time to call a trick play, all that. But here's two things I look at. I just go, Baker Mayfield's going to continue to be more comfortable since he's the man there. The O-line is phenomenal. The O-line does not – like, I people don't realize the O-line is on a trajectory here to be one of the best O-lines in the game. Wow. I mean, they've got ass kickers throughout the group. I mean, it is people that can maul you and move people out of the way. You hit on the running backs, they're phenomenal. I do think Jalen McMillan goes. I think Cade Otton's going to take another step going in the right direction because he's damn good. Mm-hmm. Mike Evans, can he still replicate what he's doing? I mean, to a degree, I think it'll start to go slowly down. I mean, I think it is right now, with all due respect to the Hall of Famer, Mike Evans. And then Godwin. So, you know, I think they have to maybe even address the situation a little bit at receiver. Think about the future here because we are coming to the edge and coming to the end with some of these guys. Mm-hmm. And then Chris Godwin specifically, yeah, how he's going through his rehab and all that, that's going to dictate whether they want to dabble in free agency to find somebody to protect them a little bit that way. But, all in all, I think it'll be very close to what it was last year. I'm not going to say better, but I think it'll be close. It might just have a different look to that.
All right, Chris, last one. We're going to get you out of here because you're in high demand.
Yeah, it's all right. You're good. No rush. I'm all good. I always hang with my Bucks guys.
Well,
no worries.
You can say if you want to. Of course, Jason Light was sitting in this seat. Said Sean Tucker could be a starter for other teams. And
100.
He was your guy in the draft. And you're sitting with our draft guru, Sean Sullivan, over here, who pays attention, and you were on him. But also want to say, though, you've talked about on your show, PFT Live, about how the Bucks they don't get the respect nationally. They're sort of like, people don't think they suck, but, they don't get that respect on a tier that they might be. What's your perception of why that is?
Small market. They didn't get the memo that when Tom Brady was left, they shouldn't be good anymore. Because from what everything I heard, it was all him. It was all him. That's all I heard, right? And I play because
did he say that?
Tom Brady is like of course, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But he's also like the most overrated and the most underrated in some way quarterback I've ever seen, right? Because it gets to the point towards the end of the career too, where it's just like he was by the Gatorade bottle, and the players saw a look in his eye, and that raised their game. And when I started to hear that shit at the end of his career, I was like, oh my god, I can't take it anymore, right? But yet his physical ability and his arm strength are underrated, and people don't realize he could throw lasers until the day he died. Right, it's one of the greatest arms in NFL history. So that's why I say the underrated, overrated thing. Right, but yeah, they don't get the respect. The small market team. I don't know if there's a household superstar in the team right now that goes through the country. Right, they're just everybody's like, oh my gosh. So I think that plays a part of it. I would say those are probably the two biggest reasons. And then you add that on to maybe an underwhelming division right now where it's not real sexy, right? And I think that's kind of part of what it is. But, I mean, to go to the playoffs, one with two different coaches just continually, two different quarterbacks, never miss a step.
Sure.
The team continues to retool and refurbish itself on the fly. It's not like we're sitting here going, oh, they gotta rip the Band-Aid off and start over. They've done a great job of kind of balancing young with new and drafting and developing, and we'll find a free agent here and there. But it is hard to put your hand on exactly why it's so underrated.
Yeah,
but I think those are the things that jump to me.
It's really tough.
It is tough.
Few teams in history have won four division titles after winning a Super Bowl. And, the numbers
are
there.
I mean, it's few. I mean, is it ever? I mean,
yeah, there's been a few. Not many at all.
Right? I mean, yeah, of course, the Chiefs probably because of what they're doing. Yeah, yeah. But it is. It is amazing that way. But Tampa, for whatever reason, has always flown under the radar. I mean, I really felt like that. Even the early 2000s when it was Super Bowls and NFC Championship games, it was always a little bit like, hey, we're here. We're one of the better teams in the NFC. Is anybody going to ever talk about us on ESPN or something like that?
The current team's bad primetime record hurts, I think, a little bit, too. They haven't been good on primetime.
Probably.
One of these, we're going to have to hear your story about Keyshawn Johnson. I remember Keyshawn bragged about how you tagged along with him in Tokyo.
I did. The vets were really good to me my rookie year. I think they, hopefully, I think they saw that I was a good guy. I was one of the guys. And I think they saw my talent, right? So guys like Warren Sapp and Keyshawn and Derek Brooks and Rondé Barber, who's still one of my best friends to this day, Dwight Smith, they kind of were really took me under their wing.
Oh, wow.
And Keyshawn, from the get-go, one of the first few times I threw a football to him, he was just like, man, you can really throw it. Yeah, it's crazy you're a lefty, but damn, you can throw it, right? And he was really good to me that way. And so we're out in Tokyo, and we had like some time off, and I'm like, I got nothing to do. And he was just walking by. He's like, hey, Simsy, I'm going out. I'm going to go shopping. You want to come with me? And I was like, sure, I'll come out with you. You're Keyshawn Johnson, and I know you're kind of extravagant. You're probably going to buy some cool shit out here, so let me go watch what you're going to do, right? I think we went to, like, the Louis Vuitton store first, and he bought a few bags that I know I couldn't afford at the time. I know that, and I was like, damn, this is amazing. Look at this, right? This is big money Keyshawn Johnson. But, yeah, that was definitely one of my early good stories in the NFL. That whole trip I have stories about, really. Whoa. I mean, that was a great trip in general. I mean, first off, I do think it was very tough. And to go to Tokyo to play in the preseason game, that screwed us up for like 3 weeks. I mean, we were there for 3 days.
It's never happened again, I don't think.
I don't think it has. And this is true. I truly believe that team, that was part of our downfall that year. I mean, we had guys at training camp when we got back from Tokyo that were sitting out in the hallways of their training in our training camp hotel in the hotel because they were wide awake at 3 in the morning because the whole clock change and everything had totally messed us up.
So you think the NFL playing in Australia next year, not this coming year,
that's going to be, 18-hour time difference? Wow. Right? I know they're going to have 2 weeks and all that, and I can have the bye week after, but yeah, that's like a pretty big deal. Like, what are they going to fly out on a Friday?
The analytics will fix it. The sports science guys will figure it out.
Oh, yeah, sure. Extra pillows. Yeah, player safety. We'll put oxygen in their plane to make them feel better. I don't know. But, yeah, it is going to be interesting how they balance all that.
Wow. Now, there's a story that I can't remember the specifics, but the ending of the story was a great Warren Sapp punctuation, for lack of a better term. That he was on you about something. He was ranting at you. And at the very end, you have a Longhorn tattoo. I guess you still have it.
Yeah.
And at the very end of his rant, he said, "And wipe that dumbass Longhorn off your leg."
Yeah, he was good at saying a lot of crap like that to me. I mean, I got so many Warren Sapp stories. I still keep in contact with Warren. You know, Warren, again, like I said, was tough love, but he took me under his wing. He really did. Wow. You know, I was his do-it boy. Like, right? I had to carry his luggage to his room in the road games. He would throw a 20 on the ground. And I would be like, I'm going to pick it up. I don't give a shit. I'm like, what do you think? You're insulting me? I'm going to pick it up, right? You know, and he might say something under his breath like, "You motherfucker," and throw it on the ground. Or, "Get out of here, you motherfucker," right? Whatever, just something like that. So he made me laugh. I always had to have a can of Skol on me at all times. Can of Skol.
Oh, that, yeah.
We're playing the Washington team 1 year, and I realized the day of the game, I have no more Skol in my bag. We're on the road. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't go to the team breakfast. Because he's gonna yell at me and make a scene. So I go down at the very end of breakfast. I mean, like, to the point where it's like I'm not going to really be able to eat. But I'm hoping he's out of there so I can just sneak on the bus and not deal with it. I get down there. He's not there. And I'm like, oh, this is – thank God he's not here. And I'm like literally like standing up eating pancakes as I'm standing up, like watching the bus. And I'm like, and all of a sudden I hear, "Hey, Simi." And I look up, and it's him. And he's like this, because he's just giving me his hand. Like, he wants to catch something, and that means I got to throw him the Skol thing. And I just looked at him like a puppy dog and shook my head. And he, "You motherfucker, these damn rookies, you freaking Longhorn, no matter what." But my first experience with him ever was walking through the locker room door. John Gruden, I feel like he set me up. He's like, "Hey, make sure you get around all the vets when you get in there and go shake their hands." Well, you remember the old one-buck locker room.
Sure.
You open the locker room doors, and Warren Sapp right there, in front of you. So I walked in, and I was like, damn, that's the number one guy I want to meet. I stuck out my hand. He went, "Get the hell out of my face. Don't even talk to me until you played in the game." And I was literally like, and like walked away, like totally like cool out of my walk right there. But great memories, and hey, it's, you know, you got to earn your stripes in the NFL.
All right, Chris, thanks so much for joining us here at Joe Bucks Fan Show on 95.3 WDAE and AM 620. We'll see you online, unbuttoned, NBC Sports BFT.
I appreciate
BFT
you guys
Live.
Paying attention. I hope I didn't swear too much today.
We'll fix it.
All right, good.
What a fun interview there from Chris Sims. We'll talk about it with the Sage when we come back early next week. As Ira mentioned, 3 podcasts coming next week. Free agency is here. Arguably the most exciting time of the year other than the playoff chase. And we'll be here to talk about it on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Please subscribe, leave a review at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, like Jelly Bean, Podbean, Podcast Addict, where the Sage leads the league in subscribers there. He's got 1,400 plus. I don't think anybody else local has more than 200. And Ira wins on these various apps. So we appreciate your support. And, of course, at JoeBucksFan.com. We'll see you next week.